Today's Bible reading is from 1 Samuel 20, verses 28 to 34. And I'm reading from the bulletin. Jonathan answered, "David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I have found favour in your eyes, let me get away to see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table.' Saul's anger flared up as Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan as he said to him, 'You're son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die.' Why should he put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger, and on that second day of the feast he did not eat, because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David.
So as we come to today's commandment, you see it on the back wall there, "Listen to your mother and your father," or as it's written in Exodus 20, "Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." One of the things that we find when we look at this command is it's immediately going to have a different impact on the different people who read it. I wonder how you feel leading into this sermon. There'll be some people sitting here and they find that this is probably the easiest command of the lot. "I've had great parents. I always knew I was loved, and so they're easy to honour." There'll be others who, at a push, can probably find things to honour. There's a lot to dislike, though. There's a lot of things where the parents have let you down, but you can find a way to honour something. There are others who have had parents or a parent who has let you down big time. To be honest, you really don't like them very much. And maybe even the word hate even comes to the surface. What do you do with this command when that's been your experience? There'll be others sitting in this room who are really hurting today because your family has chosen not to do this to you. They've rejected you, almost disowned you, and have chosen not to honour you. What are you supposed to do with that? How about we pray before we look at this sermon today? Father, as we come today to look at this commandment, we recognise the reality that each person is going to come to it from a very different perspective. There are people who will no doubt have almost been fearful of arriving today because their experience of their father or their mother has been less than ideal. There are others who just want to rejoice and celebrate the wonderful upbringing they've had. Father, would you help us to get this right today? To have an understanding of how we today, in today's world and with our backgrounds, can truly honour our fathers and our mothers as you have commanded us to do. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the great struggle sometimes when we have a passage. The foundations and the backgrounds impact us greatly. And the reason that you actually have the Bible passage in the bulletin that you have today is a very deliberate one. And so you might like to turn back to that passage. And I'll give a little bit of background to it. It's a passage that speaks about Saul beginning to lose the plot. If you go back a little bit further, he had actually promised to Jonathan some time ago that he wasn't going to hurt David at all. There's no way in the world I'll hurt David because he's your friend, Jonathan, so I won't hurt him. But Saul on two occasions attempted to kill David. So he wasn't a man of integrity, he wasn't a man of his word. And then you have this moment that you have written in your bulletin. Jonathan is there and he's trying to chat with his dad, and Saul becomes very, very angry. In fact, we see there that all that David was doing and all that Jonathan was doing actually galled him. And then we see that Jonathan himself, Saul's son, was attempted to be killed by his dad, throwing Bob a spear. Apparently, that's not a good parenting skill, okay? Particularly if you miss, okay? So here's the question that I want us to consider, and even though we probably haven't got as much time as I would love to discuss this today, I'd love for you to chat with the people around you. Do you think the fact that Dad tried to kill his son with a spear somehow null and voids this particular commandment of honouring your father in those circumstances? I'd love you to just chat about that for a few moments. Not too long, and then we'll chat about that. Delivered this command, he was totally aware that every single parent was going to fail in some way. He was aware that this was not going to be a command that parents were all going to get right. And so the reality is that each of us, as we sit here today, have probably made mistakes as we have parented, And at the same time, we've also grown up under parents who have made mistakes and let us down. My children absolutely know that I am a long, long, long way short of perfect. But don't laugh too much, because your kids know that you're a long way from being perfect as well. They have a way of seeing the flaws in mum and dad. Have you noticed that? They have a way of highlighting them and seeing them and even bringing them to the fore for us to acknowledge where we've gone wrong. But none of that has anything to do with this discussion today. Because like I say, we've all failed. We've all fallen short of the mark. I actually read this about Jonathan. I'd like to read it for you. But despite Saul's many failures, Jonathan never abandoned him, even after he had the sword thrown at him. In fact, Jonathan died fighting in battle alongside his faithless father. We can learn many lessons from Jonathan and his relationship with his father. Loyalty to God and what is right should surpass any other loyalties in our lives. We should recognise wrong behaviour and attitudes in our parents, and we should avoid making the same mistakes. But even if a parent is flawed, we can still do our best to be respectful of him or her. It can be hard to honour a parent who isn't a good example, but Jonathan provides an excellent example of responding in a mature, godly manner. You will notice that nowhere in this command or anywhere else that God declares in the Bible embrace or endorse ungodly behaviour. So when we say we need to honour our parents, we are not declaring that we need to embrace or accept the behaviour that is contrary to God's purposes. But there is still a need to respect and honour our parents for who they are. As much as they might grate on us, if we get this right, then there is a reward that is ours. And you'll notice that in this command, there is this reward that is on offer. There's not just a reward for us, but there is also a reward for our children, because they learn to honour God by honouring their parents. And in some ways, it becomes an ongoing establishment. If we honour our parents, then the likelihood is that our children will honour us. I shared this with a few people. I went to a funeral recently, and I have no doubt in declaring whatsoever that it was one of the best funerals I had ever been to. It was an amazing time, and the family shared the eulogy. In fact, it was the grandchildren who shared the eulogy, and they did it in the first person, like they were talking, like it was the grandmother who was talking. And it was an amazing funeral, full of celebration and excitement, and I walked away going, yeah, this was just amazing funeral. The only problem was, I actually knew the lady. I knew her. And to say that she was a little awkward or a little difficult is probably understating the reality. And everyone sitting in that room will have known that this lady could display some uncomfortable traits at times. Boy, I'm trying to be careful with my words today. And so as I looked at there, and I'm sitting and I'm hearing the eulogy, I'm hearing the word speak, and I hear the minister who had her in his congregation, he's going, oh, we had some interesting discussions from time to time. Smile on his face. Yeah, I'm sure you had some interesting discussions. So there was all truth in it. But I'm thinking, somewhere along the line, we're not telling the whole story, and somehow in this funeral have we really displayed the truth? And I felt a little uncomfortable about that as I left that time. But on reflection, I'd actually say I think the family got it absolutely right. the family chose to lay down the many things that weren't what they could have been or should have been. The family chose to lay those down and to honour and respect this lady's life, the things that she had achieved, the struggles she had had, and her role in the family unit. And as they move on to the next stage in their lives, they're able to move on to that next stage in their life with the understanding of a lady who has been honoured, and the goodness that she gave has then been passed through the funeral. There's a wonderful example of getting this right. There are lots and lots of things about this commandment that we will struggle with. Particularly when we look at this command, you will notice it doesn't declare, fathers and mothers, tell your children that they should honour you. It's not for us to demand it. It's for our children to give it. It's not for us to demand it. It's for our children to give it. Sure, when children are small, we can encourage them and tell them that they need to obey us. They need to follow our example. We can even tell them, you just need to do it because I told you to. We can do that when they're small. But as children grow and become mature, or become adults, whichever comes first, that's not always the same thing. What our children do with this command is then up to them. And that's a bit tough for us to have to deal with. We would love to be able to say, you have to honour me. Can't you read the command? But it's not up to us. It's a child's response. But we have to understand also that this command still rests with us. Because even as we sit here today, we're still children. We're children of our parents. And you may well say, well, my parents have long gone. And that may be true. You may have elderly parents that you're caring for, and that's true. But as we come to this point, we still have a responsibility to honour our mother and father. Now, sure, they may have well gone, but one of the things we can do is to pass on their legacy and their strengths and their abilities and what they have done for us. We need to pass that on to our children and to our grandchildren, so that generation by generation, our family is being honoured and respected and built up. There will be things in your growing up years that you would like to have forgotten. But there have also been a lot of things that you would need, that you would like to remember. Can I encourage you to remember them? Remember the heritage of your parents that are worthy of honour, and communicate those with our families. One of the best gifts we can give to our family is to speak words of honour and respect in regards to who our parents are to us. As I say, no, we can't demand honour be given to us. It is a command for the children. But as I say, it becomes a command to all of us. Jonathan didn't place Saul in a place where he was going to be dishonoured. Jonathan wanted to give Saul, his dad, the rightful place. But the one place where Saul wanted to be was first in Jonathan's life. And Jonathan wasn't prepared to do that. As we honour our parents, we need to make sure that we, in our honouring of our parents, we don't put them first. We need to put God first. And his ways and his principles need to come first. And it's because of that that we honour our parents. And that's what Jonathan was doing here in this passage. And as we read through, Jonathan continued to still speak to his dad and say, some of the things you're doing, Dad, aren't right. They're against God's law. Now, he didn't use these words, but I think this is what he's saying. But I still love you, Dad. I still honour you. but you need to listen to God and you need to obey God. We need to put God first and through that honour our parents. Jonathan saw his dad try and kill his best friend, yet he never turned his heart away from Saul, as we heard before. As we look at this command, you will notice it does come with a promise. If you get this right, God says, you will live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. If we get it right, then the family unit will be maintained generation by generation, even if there's some rat bags in those generations. If we choose to honour, then the family unit will stay together for those generations. It is the promise of God. It is the promise of God's word. And I think the opposite is also true. If the family gets it wrong, if there is a choosing to dishonour parents, dishonour grandparents, then generation by generation, the family unit will fall apart. We live in a world and at a time when honouring and respect is something that is going by the way. They're words that are used a lot, but they're not used with truth. As we look at this command, we would love it to be about worthiness. And I think that's where the world would like to take this side, this sort of phrase as well. We want it to be about worthiness, worthy of honour. If a person is worthy of honour, we give them honour. If we perceive they're worthy of it. But that's not what it's about. It's about choosing to honour. Today we all have a choice to choose to honour. Honour our parents, to honour those who are in authority over us. It's about choosing to honour. I acknowledge that for some of us today, this is an easy discussion. Honouring is just something that we just want to do. But for others, it's probably one of the hardest discussions that we can have. There will be people here today who've had a mum or a dad that has just hurt you big time. And I want to acknowledge that today, and I want to acknowledge the genuine struggle that I know is yours. And I don't want to in any way, shape or form diminish this discussion to just be one of those ones where I'll just get over it. I acknowledge that it's a long and hard journey. But God has declared there is reward for choosing to honour, where and when it's even difficult. Choosing to find a way to honour is for us. It's for our benefit. And it's the best thing we can give to our kids. And it's the best thing we can give to our grandkids as well. Let's be people that honour our father and our mother. Let's pray together. Father, you have given to us today, I guess, one of the most awkward moments we have in Scripture, where a dad is trying to kill his own son. And yet, Father, through it all, somehow you've also shown us the great benefit that is ours if we choose to honour and honour in a way that glorifies you. Father, today I want to particularly pray for anyone who is in this space today who is really struggling in this area, struggling with their heritage, struggling with their upbringing, struggling with their family. Would you give to them a peace today? And Father, would you give them a level of understanding on how they can respond to you and respond to their families in the midst of what is their circumstances? But Father, I pray that for all of us, we will walk away from today with the choice to obey your leading and to obey your command. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.